darkness, the partial or total absence of light. This is who we were before Christ. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words driven by our flesh. All types of evil that came as second nature to us because they were our first nature. But we were made and meant for better, created after the very likeness and image of God. Once lost, now we have been called by Christ out of the darkness, rescued from ourselves, and brought into a marvelous new light. We no longer live as outcasts in the dark alleys of sin. Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we speak the truth. Now we walk in love. Now we are forgiven and able to forgive. We were once darkness, but now we are light.
Many of you have, every Christmas Eve, come to this church, into this auditorium, and you have grabbed your candle and you have participated in our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And you've done the, as Jim would say, the live fire exercise, where you have taken the candle and you have raised it up and brought it back down, and you've done that several times. You've watched it wax and wane, and him wax and wane on and on about it. You know the drill. And I sometimes wonder, you know, in that, as we've talked about how Jesus is the light of the world, he came into a world that is dark. And then he reminds us that we too are the light of the world, and that we're to be shining as lights in a dark world. And as we raise these up together, how it illuminates the room. But then I often wonder is, as we leave, if we leave as dimly lit candles. Several years ago, and by several I mean like I was in high school, so many years ago, our church had gone to Ozark Christian College. At that time, it was Ozark Bible College in Joplin, Missouri, where I ended up, and a few of us have gone to college there. They would do a thing every fall called Ambassadors Rally, and they would do, at that time, they would do a thing in the spring called Deeper Life. These were events that high schoolers would come to kind of help deepen their walk in Jesus. Remember this one particular year, I can't even remember which one it was. I just remember one of the guys that was there with us, a friend of mine by the name of Harry. I don't remember who spoke that year. I don't remember any of the events. I just remember what happened in the room. On these events, you stayed in college classrooms. Many of the students would either share their room with you while they were there, or they would leave for the weekend and give you the rooms to stay in. And so Harry and I, out of our the other students, we were staying in this room with actually a sponsor from another church. By the time we got back to the room, door was shut, lights were out, it was quiet. So Harry and I grabbed our sleeping bags, kind of threw them out on the ground, and then we just whispered, talked back and forth, and then we started laughing but kind of trying to keep it quiet because we didn't want to wake anybody up, or we assumed they were all asleep at this point. And as we were laughing and talking, I don't remember exactly what we were saying and talking about. I just know it was a little, what you might say, off color, a little risque. I know, yes, me. And we were laughing. It was probably Harry, but we were laughing about this. And then all of a sudden, an older man's voice spoke. And the sponsor that we thought was asleep, this man whom I think was maybe somewhere around 50 years old, spoke up. And he asked this question, "Boys, are you Christians?" Guilt was starting to get the best of me a little bit, but then we said, "Yeah, we are." And And then his reply was just two words. Those were the last two words spoken that night. Because he came back with, "I wonder. I remember from that time on, and it has stuck with me all these years, how important it is what we say, to watch what we say and how we live. People are always listening. People are always watching. And it was a good reminder to me that we're to be the light of Jesus at all times and in all places. Jesus had said, you are the light of the world. And he said, nobody lights a candle and then puts it under the bed. That would be silly. No, and so they put it on a lampstand so everybody can see. Then he went on to say, let your lights so shine before others that people may see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus calls us to be light. We're to be different. And yet, for some reason, sometimes we light the candle. And I know we shouldn't do it, but we put it under the table. And that's how we sometimes live. If you've been with us these last couple of months, you've known we've been in the series of Ephesians. And in this little section, we're in a series we call We Are Light. The last half of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5 is where we're at. Shane and then Jim's last two sermons, those last three sermons, I'm going to wrap up into one as we call this our practicum. Today, we get practical. Today, we ask this question, how do we practice what has been preached? So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to read a little bit out of chapter 4 and chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 17, and then we're just going to kind of tiptoe across some of the verses. 17 and 18. So this I say, and I affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles, as they walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from a life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, due to the hardness of their heart, having been callous and given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I'm going to skip down to verse 23. He said, but you should be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self that is in the likeness of God that has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Now over to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And I'm going to jump to verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. If we were to bookend these sections, verse 17 starts off telling us we are not to be like the world. He warns us of walking like Gentiles did in the futility of their thinking, having hearts that are hardened and callous. But he closes this section off in verse 8, at least the part we're talking about, as reminding us that we are to walk as children of light. Verse 24 said, in chapter 4, says we are to put on the new self. Put off the old, put on the new self. Chapter 5, verse 1 tells us we are to be imitators of God, to be like him, to live like him. Verse 8 reminds us, and Paul encourages us to walk as children of light. So if I were to, in a sense, if I was combining a couple of Johns here, the first one would be an older one, the second one would be one a little bit more modern. The first one is the Apostle John. In his letter in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, one of the things he tells us and challenges is we are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to imitate him. If I was to combine it with what we're doing today with another John, the one a little bit more modern, but not brand new, but it's Olivia Newton John. If I can just take a little bit of freedom with one of her songs and switch it a little bit, today we're going to get practical. Yeah, I know. My wife said, please don't do that. You're going to embarrass yourself. But I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. Because there's some practical wisdom here. It says, let's get practical. Let me hear your Bible talk. Let me see your Bible walk. Because in reality, that's what Paul is telling us here. We should live lives in such a way that when people hear us, they're hearing what has been taught and preached and has Jesus taught us in the Bible. And when they see how we act and interact with them and see our lives lived, they should see what is written in here without even having to read it, because they read it and hear it by how we live and by how we talk. So what does it look like? What does it look like to put on that new self? What does it look like to be an imitator of God, to walk as Jesus walked, to walk as children of light, to be light? Well, here are some examples. Number one, and I'm just going to start with this, it is having a sensitive and tender heart toward God. Verse 17 of chapter 4 reminded us that the Gentiles, who their hearts are hard and calloused. They don't seem to care as much about what God thinks about things. We who follow Jesus should. And somewhere along the line, God got a hold of us and our hearts did become tender and sensitive, that we said, okay, God, I want this life. I want what you have. And God comes in and forgives our sin, and he takes the darkness away and brings us into the light. May we always keep having that sensitive and tender heart. What else does it look like? Well, how about words of truth? Speaking words of truth, but doing so in love. Even prior to this section, in verse 15 of chapter 4, says, speaking the truth in love. And then in verse 25, it says, stop lying to one another, but speak the truth with your neighbor. We are members of one another. We're part of the same family. Let's not lie to each other. Let's speak the truth. Sometimes we get caught up in lies. Sometimes the little lies. Yeah. Sometimes it's just as simple as when you're asked a question, tell the truth. If you get caught in something, just fess up, tell the truth. You've been watching TV. Somebody walks in the room that you don't want to see whatever you've been watching. So what are you watching? Do you tell the truth or do you lie? Something was taken. Somebody asked, did you take it? Do you tell the truth or do you lie? Sometimes we get caught in those little lies, and if we're not careful, they become big. I don't know if any of you are VeggieTale lovers or whatever. When the kids were younger, we watched them all, and I had a lot of that memorized and even some of those songs. But I remember this one episode, I didn't care so much for it because I think it was Larry Boy and the Fib from Outer Space. It's a weird one, but you watch it, and it got a lot of good things to tell you. And if Shane can preach about Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, I can do VeggieTales. But in this one, and I think this is why I don't like it, the little boy, when he's confronted with breaking the thing that he broke, he said, no, I didn't do it. She did it. And when somebody knew that, well, it couldn't have been her, then he said, Lenny did it. And ever since then, I've hated VeggieTales. Because I swear I wasn't anywhere near that plate. But sometimes we get caught in these lies, and if we're not careful, they begin to just get bigger and bigger. He says, that's not how we're supposed to be. We're to speak truth to each other, but to do so in love. Sometimes it looks like preachers who speak God's truth. We have a lot of churches that just try to appease people, and sometimes reading what's in Scripture is hard because it steps on toes. It pierces hearts and penetrates. Sometimes it hurts when the teacher tells you your paper wasn't very good, but it was true. We just don't like that. That's something we worked with and invested in, or somebody on the job tells you something and you don't want to hear it, but it's true. How they do it sometimes allows us to do it. We must learn to speak truth and love. We need to learn to speak words that build up instead of tear down. Chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth." We were going to a CIY conference. That's a Christ in Youth, a high school event. I was a youth minister in Nowata, Oklahoma. And during this time, our kids in a small town, and these kids have known each other. They've known each other for a long time. But they had this bad habit of tearing each other down, ridiculing. And I mean, just this cut down one after the other all the time. And they would get offended with each other. And it was just this bickering all the time. My wife had had enough of it. So we were about to go on this trip. And so she took this verse and she put it on a poster. "Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouths, but only those things that edify and build up, so that it will give grace to those who hear." That week was a better week, but the poster was put right there in the middle of the van so that all of them could see it and be reminded we need to be careful how we talk. Some of us need to take this verse and put it on the mirror. Because sometimes it's amongst our family that gets the brunt of our not so nice talk. Some of us need to put it in the car. You know who you are. When you're in your car, yeah. Some of us need to take the bumper stickers that we put on the outside of our car and put them in so we're reminded. What else does it look like to have words that build up? How about you think it before you speak it? We got five digits on our hands. Think, T-H-I-N-K. How about we think things before we speak them? This is hard because we often jump into what we want to say before we stop and pause and go, oh, should we? But maybe if we ask these questions that spell the word think. Number T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Does it lift people up? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? We're taught, and we talk in here, to speak things that are true. And yes, we should speak things that are true. But maybe before we speak those things, we should ask, well, is it helpful for me to say this or not? Or is this tearing down? Is it inspiring? Does it lift somebody up or not? N, is it necessary? Should I say this? Okay, it's true. It's the right thing. But is it the right thing to say right now? And K, is it kind? If we were to do a better job at that, maybe we just might look more and more like Jesus in the words that we speak. And I know that just doing this T-H-I-N-K, that sometimes those words come out of our mouth before we get the is it true. But maybe the longer we go and the more we put that into practice, we might get down to the, is this really necessary? And we kind of pause back. What does it look like? Sometimes it looks like this, sharing, not stealing. Verse 28 says, "The one who steals must steal no longer, but work with your own hands, doing things that are good so that you will have something to share with those who have need." The old adage, idle hands is the devil's workshop, that's pretty true. The ones who have nothing to do often get in the most trouble. That can be from our kids. That can be the kids we ran around with in school, the ones that just maybe weren't going to school much or didn't have jobs or did different things. And that happens with adults. One of the things that's taking place right now in our societies is, and right around here, every week I talk to somebody at some establishment I'm at who says they have trouble getting workers, either hiring them or keeping them. I've known some to say we had to cut back our hours because I can't get enough help. Have I had others that I got help and then they didn't show up? If we're Christians, we should be the kind of workers that know how to work, willing to work, and willing to do the work. That ought to say something about us as children of light, children who imitate Jesus. We are to do for others. I'm going to tell you about Joe. Joe was one of those, this was a few years after my event with Harry. Now I'm the youth minister at my home church. And Joe is this kid who's a couple years behind me in age, so I'm not that much older than him. His older brother was my best friend until he was killed. And Joe was one of these kids in the group. And we were headed to the Christ and Youth Conference trip. I'm talking about CIY again. Joe had to go work. His mom and dad didn't have the money for him to go, so Joe would go get a job. And at Joe's job, he would make enough money for him to be able to pay his way to go to CIY. But besides that, we had a single mom with $3. Some of you have been there. Money's tight. You don't have a lot. Church didn't have a lot. We were a small church. We didn't have the budgets for scholarships and things like that. And I remember Joe, as Amy got old enough to go on the CIY trip, Joe not only paid for his way, but with his job, he paid her way too. That's what it looks like to share with those who are in need. Being able to work and do things. What else does it look like? How about controlled anger? This one can be a tough one for some of us. It looks like anger that is controlled before it festers. Because if we let anger get out of control, it kind of festers and festers until it turns to bitterness. When it turns to bitterness, it destroys relationships. And it destroys us. It destroys health. Sometimes it comes out and explodes into rage. Some of us are pretty quick to anger. We just kind of fly off the handle, then we just let it get over a little bit. Others of us are stuffers. We just kind of let it seethe under the surface for a while. And then one day, there's an explosion that takes place. And beware of being around them when it happens. And if we're not careful, sometimes it spews out in slander of somebody else's name and character. If I was to ask you, who's one of those, the one or the two people that you more often have trouble with your anger, that you're quick to jump there with those people? And why would that be? Could it be that we just have not dealt with some of the anger things and the issues that we have with that person? It could be somebody at our house and one of our classmates or one of those employees that just seems to talk about us a little too often. Because when we don't deal with it, verse 26 of chapter 4 says, "In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity or a foothold." Because when we don't deal with the anger, we give the devil a foothold. And his foot gets caught in that door that doesn't quite get shut. And he just holds it there. And every time we don't deal with the anger again, he plants seeds that eventually turn to bitterness. I've heard people say, "Don't go to bed angry." Heard one woman say, she made a vow, to follow this and not to go to bed angry. She said she hasn't slept since last Friday. Many things provoke us to anger. Anger in and of itself is not wrong. Some of the things we ought to be provoked to anger for. Somebody's hurting my child, I'm gonna get angry, most likely. When I see things that are injustices, we ought to get angry. I appreciate some of those parents who show up at school board meetings trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? What are you teaching our kids? I see it in communities when people step up and go, hey, where are we going? What direction are we going here? People show up to vote. People show up to do things to make a difference in their lives. There are some things that we ought to get angry about. We watch Jesus get angry when things that were happening in the temple, and he's like, hey, you guys are making the temple, my Father's house, something it should not be. And he got angry. What do we do with that anger? Sometimes we need to take stands, but when we do, we don't show up for a fight. We take firm stands, but we do so in kindness. Here's how else it looks if we were to walk as children of light, to imitate God. It's forgive. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. But we're called to forgive those who hurt us, who speak hurtful words about us, who take their anger out on us, who cheat us. Now that is tough. I'm just going to say that now. That is a tough thing to do. Because sometimes we are hurt and we're justified in our hurt. We want vindication. We want some justice. And sometimes justice happens and sometimes it doesn't. But eventually the one that gets hurt in the lack of forgiveness is the one who won't forgive until it eats away at us. Sometimes the only way you can forgive is to remember. Chapter 4, verse 32, the very last part of the chapter says, be kind to one another and tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes the only way you can forgive is going back and remembering, oh, the things that I've done to God. Oh, the things that I've done to somebody else. And the forgiveness I've been granted allows us to be able to forgive the one who's hurt us. What does it look like? It looks like love. Verse 2 of chapter 5 says, to walk in love as Christ loved us. Another one of those. We look at the example of Jesus and see what he did, and then we follow that. To walk in love. If you want to demonstrate love to somebody, it's how you treat them. It's how you talk to them. It's putting them first above yourself. As God loved us, as Jesus died for us, as he demonstrated his love for us, Jesus said, somebody was asked, what's the greatest command? And he said, well, these two right here fulfill all the commands. They kind of sum them all up. One is love God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. John will say it this way. How can you say you love God whom you've not seen when you don't love your brother who you have? So we demonstrate what it is to be imitators of God when we love. And then this last one here is, I'm just calling it moral living. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 deal with this a little bit in chapter 5 when he says, immorality and impurity shouldn't even be named among us as Christians. But sometimes it gets caught up in our churches. It gets caught up because our culture is just full of it. And it bleeds into the church. And it is hard sometimes to figure out what is right and how do we live and how do we progress? I mean, how do we work through all of this? Because it infiltrates. It's one thing to struggle with and wrestle against sinful behaviors. We're all going to struggle with something. We're going to stumble along the way, but we keep getting up and doing what we know to be the right thing to do. It's another to embrace those lifestyles, as Romans 1 will say, excuse me, and then celebrate in them. So we look at what Jesus says, and then we try to live that way. Our moral conversations goes on to talk, and as I talked about Harry and I, those coarse joking, the obscene conversations, things that are not fitting, as Paul will say. Some of us might get caught up in that locker room talk. The jokes around the water cooler or around the trucks or around whatever it is. One of the ways it shows for us is how we can be light is sometimes to walk away from those, to not laugh, even when we think it's funny. Why all of this? Why are we supposed to forgive and control our anger and to share and to love and to be kind and speak words that build up? Because it's serious. The gravity is heavy in some ways. Chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "For you know that the immoral and the impure and the coveting one and the idolaters have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." You're light, but people who continue to just walk in darkness and choose to be disobedient instead of obedience, he says they have no inheritance in God's kingdom. Verse 6 goes on to say, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We don't want to be in God's wrath. The blood of Jesus takes sin away, but that doesn't give us liberty and license to continue to live however we want to. We choose to live in that grace as we stumble, but we stumble forward, moving in His forgiveness, not moving backwards into the old way. Chapter 4, verse 30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Besides the wrath of God and the inheritance, it grieves God when we act the way we do sometimes. There was a song I heard many years ago, not a familiar song. Most of you, I doubt, have ever heard this song before. And it's titled, "I Wonder If God Cries." I couldn't tell you if God cries or not. I know God's, when it talks about the different emotions that He exhibits, it's different than the way we exhibit emotions. Jesus did some things when He was here on earth as man, but as God, is it the same? I don't know, but it has got me to wonder a little bit about our own lives and the things that we say and do. It says, "I wonder if God cries when we do the things we do. Do love drops fill His eyes because He loves us?" Oh, so true. Sometimes I feel such hurt when I try to realize that even though He's God, I wonder if God cries. I wonder if God cries, is His heart filled with pain? Does He bow and weep when we damn His holy name? I wish I could see Him and for the world apologize. When we stumble so, I wonder if God cries. Maybe time will tell when we reach that distant shore with all His children home, maybe God will cry no more. But even though He's God, I wonder if God cries. Maybe you had a parent who said this, or maybe you're the parent who has said this. "I've taught you better than that." Paul, in a sense, does that in verse 20 of chapter 4 when he said, "You didn't learn Christ that way. That's not what you were taught. You used to be darkness, and that's not you anymore. So live in the light. Put on that new self that's renewed day by day. Imitate your father. When my oldest was a baby, I remember playing with her on the bed. I didn't tear up on the first two services, but because she's here, it's making it harder. Placed her on the bed, and you know, as daddies do with their babies and playing with them, and I'm doing things, and then I'm just doing things with my mouth. And I noticed she started imitating the very things that I was doing. And so then I did something else, and she did that. Brilliant child, brilliant. And then I remember writing in a journal, sometimes that's us with God. We're infants, and eventually we're toddlers, and we're walking, and we're trying to be like that parent of ours. Learning along the way, stumbling and getting, falling down and getting back up. So you put on your new self that looks and acts like God. Imitate Him as best as you can. Because yes, there will be stumbles and struggles along the way, but don't give up. Don't give up to the old self and go back to those ways and do those things, because that's not how you learned Christ. Remember, you are the light of the world. Nobody lights a candle and puts it under the table. That would be silly. Instead, they put it on the table. They put it on the lampstand. They shine it out to where others can see, where it can do some good. We are light. We're to walk as children of light. We're to think differently and to talk differently and act differently, so that when we let our light shine, the world that's watching will see what we do, and they'll praise and glorify our Father in heaven and say, so that's what He's like. You see, there really is no better way to be happy in Jesus than to trust Him with your life and to obey Him, to walk as He walked. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Jesus, the light of the world. I thank You for His demonstration to show us how to live, and men like Paul and John and others who have written things down as Jesus passed on to them, and they passed on to us so that we can see what it's like. Thank You, You've taken us out of darkness caused by our sin. You've brought us into the kingdom of Your Son, the kingdom of light. So, Father, help us as we imitate You. Forgive us in our falterings and stumblings, but I thank You that You walk beside us, that You give us Your Spirit to walk with us and help us through it. May we stay sensitive to You, listening to Your heart. May we not grieve You by the things we say or the things we do. For it is in the name of Jesus, the one who gave Himself up for us as an offering and as a sacrifice, that fragrant aroma, we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing this song together.
Still.
Have a great week. Go be a light.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Worship Experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace. We're thrilled that you have chosen to spend a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. And if this is your first time, or if you have been viewing us for just a couple of weeks, would you do us a favor and text the word welcome to the number at the bottom of your screen, and we would love to get in touch with you. Now, if you need prayer or have any kind of concerns, you can text pray to that exact same number that's on your screen. And maybe you made the decision today to follow Jesus. We are so, so excited about that, and we would love to celebrate that with you. So go ahead and text believe to that number, and somebody will be in touch with you to celebrate and to help you find your next steps soon. We're just real people experiencing real grace here at Washington Avenue Christian Church, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.